Well, here's what we're going to do. In a couple of minutes, we're going to hear an excerpt of a 1986 Dr. John interview. But first, we're going to hear a performance that he gave in 1988 in the Fresh Air studio. He actually played a song that he learned from Professor Longhair.
I'd like to do a little tune that's kind of his signature tune, a little thing called Tipitina, that's a good example of a mixture of calypso-type rhythms mixed with the eight-bar blues that Professor was very well known for, and it's always been one of my favorites since I was a young child. And I was told by Ahmet Erdogan and Jerry Wexler, who produced the record on it for Atlantic, that this was a variation of Smiley Lewis's song Tina Na that they asked him to write a version of. I don't know if this is accurate, but this is what I was told. And I'll give you a little example of it. This is Tipitina.
Tipitina, ooh la mama, won't you try Latina now? Hey, la beta, wow, la beta, don't you hear me calling you, child? You just a 3x7, baby. Know exactly what you wanna do now. Come on, boss, we ain't going down on a dollar. And we sure gonna have a time. We gonna try to ooh mala while you wanna holler with a belly full of angel wine. Tipitina, tra-la-na-na. Tell me why you wanna holler when you know you wanna swallow, going down on a dollar.
That's a little Professor Longhair music, a la New Orleans style. Basic, raw New Orleans.
Dr. John recorded in 1988. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're featuring memories and music of New Orleans with great musicians from the city. We just heard a performance by Dr. John. When I spoke with him in 1986, he told me what the New Orleans club scene was like when he started performing.
Most of the clubs were fronts for something else. It was like the you know, they were the bee drinkers and all, working prostitution out the backs of the clubs. They all had these motels connected to them. There was gambling going on. What was great about it was it left the club owners hired bands that played music that they liked. And there was a lot of freedom. So bands in those days did not have to play for the public. They played for club owners that enjoyed music. And what happened, there was a lot of clubs that had bebop music or different forms of music that was great for musicians who weren't under pressure to pack people in a club. Because these guys didn't even care if there was any people necessarily in the club, because that's not where their money was necessarily coming.
You went from this background of playing a music rooted in jazz and blues and early rock and roll And then you became one of the leading figures in psychedelic music, and you'd created this persona for yourself, the Dr. John persona. How was that created? Was it your idea to do that?
Dr. John thing was, the idea was, at the time there was no real shows that were out around. And the concept was to take all of the technology that I knew of show business from over the years, like throwing glitter to make the effect of magic. And the show was geared to the snake dancers and all the regular voodoo shows of New Orleans. And unfortunately, when I first presented it, it was a little too authentic for the labels. They weren't quite ready for a guy biting a chicken's head off and stuff. So we modified the show down to a lot less authenticness, to more showbiz style, and took it on the road.
I want to play something from one of your early Dr. John the Night Tripper records, and this is from the Grigri album, and it's Grigri Gumbo Yaya. Do you want to say anything about when you started doing this song and how you'd get into it?
Well, this was the introduction song. Like, on the show, I would step on a button and have a big puff of smoke and say, they call me, and as the smoke cleared, it would look like I had just popped up. You know, it's an old magic trick. And that was like the introduction song to our show. And this also was like introducing myself to the audience as who and what Dr. John is.
They call me Dr. John, known as the Night Tripper. Got my satchel of gris in my hand. They be tripping up and back down the bayou. I'm the last of the best, they call me the Gris-Gris man. Got many clients, come from miles around, running down my prescription. I got medicine to cure all y'all's ills. I got remedies of every description. I got
green, green, gumbo, yeah, yeah.
Hey now.
Hey now, gumbo, yeah, yeah. Green, green, gumbo, yeah, yeah.
Hey now. You got love trouble, you got a bad woman you can't control, I got just the thing for you. Something called controlling hearts and get-together drops. If you work too hard and you need a little rest, try my easy life rub or put some of my boss fix jam in your breakfast. Try a little bit of
You were born Roman Catholic. What got you so interested in voodoo?
Well, it's a real heavy part of New Orleans scene. When I was coming up, it was like everybody I know, it's like you automatically, whether it was my grandmother or my grandfather, everybody did certain little gree-gree things. It was like the herbal remedies we took as a kid were strictly gree-gree things. And I don't think people, they look at the spells and the stuff, but that's a side of something, and it's a very small part of what gree-gree is about in Louisiana. And it's just part of the culture.
You were studying to be a priest in the Church of Voodoo and Witchcraft?
Well, what I actually did was legalize it. I chartered it so that the Reverend Mothers in New Orleans would not be busted for fortune-telling, for doing spells, and whatever they did prior to me having got a charter with the state of Louisiana. all these Reverend Mothers, who were some of the best people I ever knew, were getting busted on a regular basis for just going to hospitals and helping people. And it was ridiculous.
So you created the church to help legitimize their activities?
And it worked real well. It's like to this day they still can use this charter.
Dr. John, recorded in 1986. More memories and music of New Orleans in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.